Abba, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat, and he began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your mat." But he answered them, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take it up and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had disappeared in the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse happens to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Therefore, the Jews started persecuting Jesus because he was doing such things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is still working, and I also am working." Take a moment to think, where are you in this story? We are blessed in this community to have one of the wisest people I know as our care ministries coordinator. And I'd like to invite Elizabeth to come and share where she finds herself in this story.
"Do you want to be healed?" Jesus asked the lame man beside the pool. That question used to really confuse me. Wouldn't anybody who's been lying incapacitated for 38 years immediately answer yes? Well, after experiencing the story in my life that I want to share with you, I came to view that question both as reasonable, appropriate, and necessary for me. At an earlier time in my life, I was walking alongside a close and very, very dear member of my family who was struggling with very deep depression. She was young and she was vulnerable. It was a very, very dark time for her. It was a very scary time for me and for those who loved her. She was on medication. She was receiving counseling in both outpatient and inpatient care centers. And she was learning some very, very valuable tools for dealing with this difficult life issue that was stealing her joy and even stealing her hope of the life that she really wanted to live. As I journeyed with her during this very, very painful struggle, day after day, and it went into year after year, I did all that I knew what to do. I was her cheerleader. I tried to be her hope. In my fear for her safety, I kept very, very close tabs on her. And I tried everything that I could think of, to keep her going and to help her hold her hope. While she was in her last in-treatment center, I received a phone call from her and from her counselor. The phone call proved to be an extremely painful but extremely pivotal time in my life. Her words almost stand frozen in my memory. She said, "This is going to be really hard for me to say to you, but it's something I've got to say." Oh my gosh, I just felt my stomach tighten. I felt raw fear of what she might say. And she continued, "You are keeping me weak." I felt my world shift. I was stunned and I was confused. My God, how could that be? But I knew deep inside myself this was serious. It was serious for her, but I knew it was extremely serious for me. I believed her. Somehow it seemed that I had unknowingly contributed to her suffering. How could this have happened? I felt like I had been a rock for her. I had been her cheerleader. What had gone wrong? I actually don't remember much of what happened in the conversation after that. I was stunned. I was scared, probably even a sense of panic. The counselor said, "Elizabeth, I think it would be helpful if you spent some time dealing with someone around the issues of codependency." At that time, I didn't even know what that meant. But if that's an unfamiliar term to you, let me just say that it's an unhealthy relationship that develops when someone has an unhealthy dependency on someone else, and that someone else has a healthy dependency on needing to be needed. Well, that phone call turned my sense of self upside down. There were some dark days ahead for me. How could I have hurt someone that I loved so deeply and never had any sense that I was even creating a problem? I felt toxic and I felt confused. I never imagined that I held any piece of her painful story. Like the man in the scripture, my first reaction was I wanted to blame somebody else. I wanted to blame the family members who had had depression. I wanted to blame the family members who had some of the other issues that she was struggling with. I did not want to take any of that blame myself, because now I was being asked to hold a painful piece of her story. I was being told that I was in some part a part of her problem. Like the man in our reading, I was confronted by an invitation and a choice. Did I want to continue to blame others, or was I really willing to hold a piece of that responsibility and enter a place of my own self-discovery? The path I would take, I knew, was up to me. I knew I could refuse to accept that counselor's advice and just write it off and think, "She doesn't know who I am. She doesn't know the path I've been on with this person." Well, it's embarrassing to admit, but I had been told that by two other counselors that issue might be something I would be helped by listening to. But I hadn't been willing to listen. I didn't believe it could be true. But now, I had a choice. Was I going to be willing to consider that what these three counselors had actually told me held some truth? This time it was different. The person that I loved told me herself that I had a problem, that I was keeping her weak. So now, I knew she knew me really well. Perhaps just like the lame man, I had to decide if I wanted to make this radical change in my life. I had to decide if I wanted to be well. Well, maybe his fears were around, well, now I've got to take care of myself. Does that mean I've got to go get a job to support myself and my family? Maybe those were his fears. I don't know. I know my greatest fear was I'm going to have to face myself. And I'm going to have to face potentially some of my past that helped me to create this situation. But I was haunted by two questions that were really motivating me. One was, how did this happen? I didn't have any answers. The second was, who am I? Because I really didn't have any answers for that either. Like the man by the pool, I had to decide if I was willing to get up and walk and start walking. Or did I want to say no and keep on living that way that I had for so long? It was scary. But I decided to say yes in spite of my fears. Maybe my questions were even stronger than my fears. Well, I'd like to be able to tell you that at this time my faith was strong and that I knew God was with me, but I can't tell you that. I had a huge crisis of faith. The way that God had presented God's self to me was gone. Just when I was entering this huge and very, very scary place for me, I could not find God anywhere. I was hurt and I was angry with God. Why did you disappear? Was my question. So I began counseling to explore my questions. Well, some of these answers came as I looked at some of the realities of my past that had perhaps begun some of these patterns of behavior that had led me to this place in my life. So ever so slowly, I kept walking and pushing through the pain because there was some of that. But I also gained some new awarenesses. At the same time, something very deep was shifting in my spirit. There were some very synchronistic things that occurred. Friends called just when I needed them. Someone showed up with a book at my office that created a turning point in my life. There were also some very deeply mysterious and lovely connections with the Spirit that led me to see that God had not disappeared after all, but that God was inviting me to find God's self in a new way deep within myself. I was finding comfort and peace and connection in a totally new way for me. That was silence. Later, I learned that this form of prayer was called centering prayer. It's a prayer of no words. It's a prayer of just being. It's a prayer of surrender. It's a prayer of healing. So I invited God to do whatever God had to do to help me become who I was always intended to be, because I was becoming very, very aware that I had made some serious mistakes in trying to operate my own life. Sometime later, I was introduced to the Enneagram, a tool for spiritual growth and transformation. Because this tool was available to me, I came to see with some new clarity how some of these patterns of codependency developed, and it was an amazing way for me to get a new understanding a bit more of who I am, and it has certainly played a role in my healing and continues to do that. Before this story that I just told you, when I read that scripture passage where Jesus met the man in the temple and he said, "Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you," I actually found that a very disturbing passage, and it was very confusing to me. However, as I've sat with that passage in light of my own experience and story, I now view those words of Jesus a bit differently. Now it seems to be saying to me, if you do not choose to face your illness, your codependency, if you choose to follow less than healthy behavior, you may well cause yourself more suffering and others more suffering as well. And from this perspective, it became a loving invitation to continue on the path of healing and transformation. And like the man in the story, I too feel like I can now testify that it was Christ who was partnering with me in this healing journey. I do not believe that if I had said no to that path, I would have received any condemnation. However, I hate to think what the consequences might have been if I had chosen to say no, because what I have learned in this journey has offered me new hope and new healing for a healthier and more joy-filled life, and it's improved my relationships with other people. So was my healing instantaneous, as that story sort of implies? Nope, mine has not been. And it continues to be an ongoing and, I think, a lifetime process. And that same question still sits within me. Do you want to be well? It showed up many, many times since this particular experience in my life. And each time it offers me another choice. Will I say yes to myself? Will I say yes to God? I hope to God I continue to say yes, because what I've learned is that God will partner with me and show me the way through the pain and the fear into a wider and more abundant life.
So much to that question, do you want to be made well? Often we want the cure. Give me the pill. And yet healing is about so much more than just curing. Healing is a lifelong journey for all of us. As the ushers prepare to come and receive our offering and our musicians come forward, Megan's going to sing a song called Gotta Go Through, which was a song that came to me in a time of healing in my own life, when I was looking at my own story and wanted to escape and wanted to blame someone else, and it gave me the courage to keep moving through the healing process.